Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of our True Tales from Harrods podcast. My name is Viv McSweeney, Head of Employee Experience and Internal Comms, and I'm back to bring you more True Tales from Harrods. It's February. The January blues are officially over, and I'm getting ready for half term at Centre Parks with my children and my lovely husband, John. Having got very late to the party in terms of booking activities, I'm stuck with abseiling with the kids, which I'm really not looking forward to. You really do need to get in early these days. But we'll be spending a lot of time outdoors walking our precious dog, Bo, the latest addition to our family. Talking of new additions, today we have an incredibly special guest joining us. It is Mr. Alex Unit. Alex is our partnerships director who joined Harrods in April 2020, 2 years ago, right in the middle of the first lockdown. His LinkedIn profile tells us he's an experienced commercial director with an extensive history working in international publishing and luxury. And let's not keep him waiting a moment longer. So good morning, Alex. How are you today?
Morning, Viv. I'm very well, thank you.
Great.
Just remarking on your comment about Centre Parks and booking things up. The last time I was at Centre Parks, we forgot to book things up and ended up 10 pin bowling at 7:30 a.m. on a Sunday.
So get ahead of it. But it's like paying for another holiday though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, good. I'm glad someone else has felt the pain of being behind the curve at Centre Parks. We're going to talk a bit about you today, Alex, a bit about your role at Harrods and a bit about some of the things you're really proud of over the past 2 years. So if we could start by just exploring the role of partnerships director, what does that mean, Alex? What does that involve?
Yeah, so it means different things in different businesses. But here at Harrods, partnerships is part of the wider marketing division or brand experience division, as we call it. Partnerships essentially relates to the running of campaigns and projects which involve our partner brands. Now, mostly those are brands which are stocked by Harrods, but occasionally we partner with lots of different brands in different sort of parts of the world. So that could be brands are involved in real estate or automotive or travel and tourism, etc. So that's I suppose, the main bulk of the work that we do. We execute lots of projects in Knightsbridge, also on our digital platforms on behalf of those brands. Also within partnerships, I'm responsible for some more core B2B projects. Things like our Harrods Amex card that we have, which is an exclusive partnership with American Express.
Okay.
Or also, let's say, for example, the recent integration with Klarna as a payment opportunity for our customers.
Oh, so it's really broad then. I didn't realise it was that broad.
Yeah, it's very, very broad. And the final string to the bow, I suppose, is corporate gifting as well. So we also look at how corporates can use, obviously, the full suite of products we have as Harrods, and they can gift their clients or their employees on a kind of annual basis or whenever they like, to be fair, they can buy with us. So yeah, it's fairly far and wide reaching, but that makes it exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking it must be quite different to other organisations given how, I guess, unique Harrods is in that respect.
Yeah, we're very unique. We're quite unique as a retailer to run a pretty robust, as we would call it, sort of media sales operation. So, you know, we make revenue from the brands investing in marketing with us ultimately.
Yeah.
Now, that's not necessarily the case in retail full stop. And also, if you then go more broadly into core traditional media marketing advertising, you know, I think we definitely perform a very unique role in that overall landscape. But it's a great one because our access and the immediacy with which, you know, communications brand put in front of our audiences, you know, they can sell product immediately off the back of that. And that's quite a powerful thing in advertising.
Definitely.
It's a real challenge for lots of businesses, and we kind of have a really unique position in that.
Definitely. And you were in publishing before? Is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of you to trawl through my LinkedIn profile. How embarrassing. But I do have publishing experience. My most recent role was at Condé Nast in the international team there. So that was a real global perspective. But, you know, it really was more of a sort of traditional and core publishing entity as opposed to where we are here at Harrods. So, yeah, my experience is in that. My experience from Condé was, I suppose, latterly digital transformation. That business was really undergoing a core change in how it treated print publishing and an evolution of that into certainly more globalized content, but also more digital content. So it was a great time to be part of Condé. But when Harrods came knocking, I couldn't say no.
Well, that was going to be my next question. And I do remember talking to you about this a couple of years ago. But what was it that appealed to you about Harrods particularly?
Definitely the iconic nature of the brand. You know, you'd be pretty pushed to go anywhere in the world and people not know what Harrods is and what it stands for. And that's amazing. That's really testament to everything that we've built as a business over the last century and further back into the past. I think certainly that was core to me. I always, in my career, have tried to work for businesses that I identify with personally. I think it's important. That's what, you know, what gets you out of bed in the morning ultimately is if you've got a personal affiliation and interest in the business that you're working for. I also knew a few people here, and that was always a good thing. Yeah. You can speak to them and
soft landing.
A couple had actually left by the time I got here, so that was interesting. You know, they definitely gave me the confidence to understand, I suppose, a bit more about the corporate culture, exactly how things work, and how, you know, I would be a fit for that business beyond, obviously, what you do in terms of interviewing and meeting everybody that you're going to be working with in the immediacy. And also, I think Harrods as a business is never standing still. And I definitely felt that when I spoke to everybody before arriving here, was that there was a real excitement and ambition to grow internationally. There was a real excitement to grow digitally and really evolve what the business stands for and where we are in the world. And that was certainly something which led to my decision to join, is that I always wanted to be part of something that feels like it's growing, that it's, you know, innovating and moving forward. And I definitely felt that with Harrods.
Yeah, and I've definitely felt that. It's strange, isn't it? Over the past 2 years, I feel like we've done so much innovation and explored so much new ground, but in the most challenging and unusual context that we've ever experienced. So has the past 2 years given you the opportunity to do some innovative stuff? Are there things that stand out that you're particularly proud of over the past 2 years that you've been here?
Yeah, it's been a mad ride, really, for everybody since, you know, I joined in April 2020, as you referenced. We'd just gone into that lockdown, and you think, this could go one of two ways. Either there's a huge regression in how everybody approaches their working life, their personal life, and, you know, there really would be less room for innovation. I think we probably felt that in the early course of the pandemic. We really just had to get the basics right.
Yeah.
But following, I suppose, that first phase, when we were all a bit used to the agile, you know, nature of working and not being together and present, and frankly, the store not operating, I suppose, as it normally would, the green shoots of innovation started to come forward, and we had to think very differently about what we were doing. Now, we were doing that as a business overall. We were virtual shopping. You could shop Harrods anywhere in the world via WhatsApp, via our hero clienteling product, by, you know, the personal shoppers that we had who were all here, even though the doors were shut. And I think as a business, us thinking, well, we need to continue to innovate to succeed, that really filtered down into every division of Harrods overall. And we, in marketing, I think, took that on. There are lots of campaigns as a Harrods brand we can be proud of. And I think also as partnerships, we really took that on and thought, well, okay, if the doors are shut or if there are less customers physically in the store, what can we do to make these projects interesting and dynamic and further reaching? So we've, and I suppose, you know, there are specific projects I'm proud of delivering. I think of when we launched with Burberry the Olympia bag, when we did our amazing project with Dom Perignon and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
They're the two that came to mind as I sort of thought about today's podcast. But, you know, I think overall we've been doing so much more in social media. We've been doing so much more in what we do on Harrods.com. We've been doing so much more in the virtual world. And I don't necessarily think we would have done so much of that had it not been for the weird and wonderful, wonderful is the wrong word, but the weird couple of years that we've been through.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's always interesting. Clearly there's this big commercial element to your role. Sales comes into it, I'm sure. Did that show itself at an early age for you, Alex? What were you like as a child? What were you like growing up?
I quizzed my mum on this actually this morning, just before we started recording. I was like, you know, what did I want to be? And you know, were my childhood years really forming what I do as a as an adult now as a career? And she said, well, probably not, because between the ages of 3 and 4, I was obsessed with being a car driver, whatever that means. I don't know if that's race driver or taxi driver or anywhere in between, but, you know, driving a car was really core to that.
Yeah. You're a good driver, would you say, these days?
I'm a spectacular driver, Viv. Yeah, honestly.
Standard. Yeah,
I can't be beaten on the road. really good at parking as well, actually.
Oh, good,
my wife would attest to. Hopefully. And then I went through a phase of wanting to be a fireman. But yeah. I think that was really a consequence of, you know, the sort of cultural and spiritual icon of Fireman Sam. I think he really was core to that.
Nice.
And then as I was going through secondary school, it was all about being a lawyer, which seems a bit crazy to me now. But I think we had lots of family contacts who were in law, and I sort of thought that was the route for me. I did some work experience at Allen and Overy, which is one of the, you know, magic circle firms, just after sort of GCSEs or whatever, and quickly realised that maybe wasn't for me. I think the attention to detail and the hours and all of that sort of thing really quashed that. Yeah,
yeah.
Hard work. I do work hard here.
Yeah, but, no, I know.
And then actually it evolved into, I did lots of just sort of post-school and university time. I did a lot of work experience at various media marketing advertising places. So I interned at M&C Saatchi, which is a creative agency.
Wow.
I worked at the Times and the Sunday Times, more on their sort of publishing sales side.
Yeah.
I worked at Universal McCann, which is a media agency. And the projects, the nature of the work, the people, I really identified with them as individuals and felt that that was sort of like, you know, the sweet spot, if you like. I mean, as much as you can know that at that age, and that really sort of shaped where I got to today. I don't know if that really answers the specific question you asked.
No, it definitely does. I think you've taken us on the journey for sure. How is Trixie must be, is it Trixie, your daughter?
Yeah.
Trixie must be 2 now, is she?
She turned 2 yesterday.
And is she showing signs of wanting to be a car driver?
Do you know what? We bought her one of those mini scooters for her second birthday. And she, to her credit, jumped on that thing, and we said, you know, 1 foot on the platform and 1 to pedal yourself along. She got it immediately and was off into the distance.
That's great for 2.
Yeah, she might be that car driver that I always aspire to be. That might be in the family yet. So
absolutely. I hope she had a lovely birthday.
No, she did. It was really nice to I've obviously spent more time with her than I probably, you know, ever dreamt of being able to in the first 2 years of her life. You know, we've been working from home, and that means that after working hours, you're obviously immediately there and with the family. So it's been really amazing.
Oh, lovely. Definitely a silver lining over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So what's the focus for you and the team for, I keep forgetting what year we're in, 2022. So as we look to the future.
Yeah, there's part of it that's, I think, consolidation, because, you know, as I say, we've been doing lots of new things on new platforms and really trying to expand the opportunities that the brands have in working with Harrods in the ways I've just described.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got to learn from what we've done in testing those things and really execute to the best of our ability on those new platforms. And we've got to get a bit, I think, of the Harrods swagger back, if you like, in terms of just, fingers crossed, we slightly come out of this pandemic phase, and as we've read in the news recently, hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, touch wood on that.
Yeah.
What that will enable us to do is just really focus on making the projects bigger, better, bolder than they ever have been before. And I think, you know, if you take the consolidation of those new suite of tools that we've got at our disposal, get international travel back and have all of our great international customers here and get the footfall back in the store and feel like we're really revved up to deliver as best we possibly can as a business overall, that can only help to foster, you know, as I say, those bigger and bolder partnerships. I think, you know, we plan fairly far ahead. We're talking already about, well, in fact, we were talking the other day about January 2023, which then, again, you know, your mind's blown a little bit about which year am I in? Where are we?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're kind of talking about next Christmas and, this Christmas 22 and then January 23 already. So we're fairly focused on planning ahead. And as I say, just being bigger, bolder and better than we ever have been before.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Alex, what advice would you give to your younger self or anyone actually considering a career in partnerships? And if we could overlay a career at Harrods as well, it'd be nice to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, I think it's really about trusting your instincts and your gut a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. I think as I just referenced, in terms of making my way into media marketing, that advertising world, the thing that was the big tick, I suppose, or the thing that meant it, I got to the realization it was the right thing to do, was that you just feel comfortable in that context and it's true to your own sort of personal values. So really, I think that's the first thing, and it is go on instinct and believe that what your gut's telling you is probably the right thing. There's obviously a lot more that you can do to think about things carefully and understand, you know, what is the right move for you. But if you start with that, you're not going to go far wrong.
Agree.
I think the second thing is to really try and maintain curiosity and just always... I found that the best work obviously happens both personally and with teams when you're really trying to think as broadly as you possibly can. So staying close to the media, staying close to politics, staying close to culture, staying close to media overall in all of its different facets will stand you in good stead to be a really strong operator in, as we define it, partnerships here, because you're just drawing on lots of different parts of the world to come to the conclusions and drive forward the projects that we do.
And stay relevant, I suppose, as well.
That's so important. You can't, you know, and I suppose at Harrods, that's what I would go on to say, is that, you know, Harrods is an incredibly welcoming business and it's full of the, you know, really the best people, and you will learn every day from everybody. So you've got to try and be a sponge as much as you possibly can. You know, I came into this, as you've referenced, with more of a core publishing background, didn't really know anything about retail apart from being a consumer myself, but you've got to really quickly learn all of those things because they will play into the dynamics of how you do your job ultimately. But I think to your point about staying relevant, you've also got to be careful not to gaze slightly sort of myopically into just your business, because otherwise you're spiraling down into, you know, doing the same thing and not feeling like you're moving forward. So I think that's really key to, as you say, staying relevant and trying to think constantly slightly outside of what your day-to-day is.
And if we think about outside of your day-to-day, what keeps you busy outside work? Are you still playing golf, Alex?
I try to, Viv, yeah. I try to. Yeah, I love, you know, I make no apology. Golfers sometimes gets a bad rap. It takes too long. You know, it's boring. It's dull. It's kind of, you know, it's not very Gen Z or whatever, however you would describe it. Golf for me is like, and people have this in different things that they do at home, right? It's the one time where you're just solely focused on what you're doing and the rest is just noise, which is cut out at that point. So you kind of just truly... Well, it's not relaxing sport, I suppose, but you truly relax in that way. But clearly, I can't play golf all the time, Viv. It does take a while to get around 18 holes. So, you know, outside of that, Trix is obviously two, as we've just talked about, and you know, she keeps us busy. We like spending time as a family over the weekend when we can. You know, we live in Kent, so we're slightly distanced from the madness that is London. You know, we do walks around the local countryside and we go out and we just spend some quality time together. So, you know, I think that's obviously, we do a lot more with our lives. And, you know, typically Bex and I, before we had Trix, we were obsessed with travel and visiting the world and doing as much as we can. There's much less of that now that's possible, obviously. But yeah, there's plenty to keep me busy outside of work. Yeah.
Two is such a lovely age. I remember people saying about terrible twos, but actually... Just to warn you, I think it's terrible threes, like two.
Oh, good. Super,
yeah. She's got another year.
Yeah.
Two was super cool for both of mine, but once they both hit three, like when they start to actually rebel against their parents, that's when the problems start. So just to warn you.
Thanks for that, Viv. People remark about how quickly it goes and, you know, don't wish the time away because I think it's... The older she gets, the more I enjoy spending time with her, ultimately. Yeah. Long may that continue. But
well,
sounds like
back,
when she gets
you?
To three, I might change my tune.
Yeah, let's see you in a year. and finally, it would be, we always ask people this question. Lots of people join Harrods and always share a memory they have of Harrods. Some have come to visit Father Christmas in the grotto. Some used to come here for afternoon tea. Do you have a first Harrods memory, or was Harrods somewhere you came as a child?
Yeah, I never fully trust those early memories, but I'm pretty sure. And again,
my mother... Did you have to ask your mum this as well?
Yeah, my mother's verified this story. So,
so it's true, everyone.
It's true. So I grew up in Leicestershire. So fair way away, broadly speaking. And Christmas time always used to be that, you know, it's fairly typical, I suppose, but it would be train down to London and do the theatre thing and the Christmas lights, and Harrods was always part of that. So I do vividly remember coming in here, and I think I distrust my memory, because you walk in now and compared to 25, 30 years ago, it's obviously very, very different. So I couldn't quite piece it all together in my mind. But I remember going into the Christmas shop and you know, us as a family going, right, we're going to buy a bauble each, and it's going to be, you know, that thing. And I can't remember what I selected, but I remember it was... It would have been spectacular and fabulous, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure your choice was impeccable.
Of course. But yeah, I remember kind of just, you know, Christmas being, you know, London and London being Harrods, and it all being part of that sort of magical experience. And I think that's true to this day, really. You come in around Christmas time and you still sort of feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think that's my earliest memory of Harrods.
Okay, well, we'll check with your mum after.
Yeah.
Was she pleased when you joined Harrods? Do you ever bring your mum here?
Yeah, she was, yeah. It's funny, you talk to the family about that. And as I say, everybody knows Harrods and has experienced Harrods. So, you know, my grandfather is turning 98 in March. You know, he's incredibly proud that, you know, I'm here. And, you know, he has memories from a long, long time ago of Harrods in a much different guise to what we are now as a business. But yeah, I mean, people are proud of me being here. There's no doubt about that.
To be honest,
they'd probably be proud of me, whatever I did, or they say they would, but, you know.
Harrods helps. Okay, we're going to have some fun with you now, Alex.
Okay.
Don't look so worried. We're now going to move on to my favourite part of the podcast, because we have a surprise game for you. So we've called this game, Alex, The Perfect Pair. So in the spirit of Valentine's Day coming up, which is all about loving partnerships, and of course, you being our special partnerships director, we'd love to find out who or what you're going to pair some random items with. Don't look so worried. All you've got to do is say who or what you're going to pair the item with. So it could be a thing, it could be people, but really we just want the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with something out of the blue, a wood-fired pepperoni pizza.
Sounds delicious. I will pair that with a cold glass, and the glass has to be chilled.
Yeah.
I cannot bear warm beer in any sense, so it's going to be a glass of cold chilled lager.
Sounds
please.
Lovely.
Yeah,
I'm down with that for sure. A golf club set. I think we know the answer to this one.
Myself.
Yeah, good. A pair of Mont Blanc cashmere socks. Who might like those?
My grandfather would like them.
Well, it's his birthday in March, you said?
Yeah, he can have the cashmere socks.
Okay.
They'll keep him warm.
Yeah.
You know.
Probably needs extra warmth. Yeah. He's coming out for 98. That's quite a tenure, isn't it?
He tends to spend a lot of time in what he calls the den. I think it's about 45 degrees in there. So,
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's well looked after.
He's well looked after. The cashmere socks will help the energy bill.
The next one is our Harrods chocolate haul.
Kids,
yeah, just kids generally.
I mean, they can run riot in there. It's absolute madness. It's not very good parenting, but I think that's, you know, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Yeah.
This one, a bit cryptic, but you'll probably get the meaning behind it. A jelly cat toy apple. We've been doing our homework.
My daughter, she. I would pair it with various Jellycat bunnies and like other things that Jellycat make, which is an extraordinary array of things. It's unbelievable.
They're great, aren't they?
Yeah. We took tricks to see Santa, and he said, what would you like for Christmas? And she said, an apple, which is very sweet.
Love her.
And Lisa, my PA, who knows everything there is to know about Harrods, said, get to the toy department, Jellycat make soft toy apples.
Good old Lisa.
Yeah. So Santa delivered this year for her.
Good work. Well, my friend's daughter asked for a bag of potatoes for Christmas last year.
I don't know if Jellycat make a bag of potatoes.
I don't think they do. And the final one you'll be relieved to hear is a five-year-old Alex unit. What are we going to pair him with?
A Formula One car.
Of course, yeah. I didn't want to say it.
And then my life could have been very different.
It could have been, couldn't it? We wouldn't be talking.
No.
Thanks, Alex. That has to be the most random game we've come up with so far. So thank you for your candid participation. We've got a lot more insight into your taste there, I think. Thanks, Alex, for taking the time to talk to us today. I hope you go on to have a wonderful day today.
Thank you. And yourself.
So that brings us to the end of this episode of True Tales from Harrods podcast. A huge thank you to Alex for sharing so much insight to the world of partnerships and the world of Alex and his family and letting us get to know him. If you haven't done so already, then please go back and discover previous episodes and do subscribe if you'd like to receive more episodes as soon as they become available. As always, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next month with a new guest. Lots of love from me, Viv.